The WBFO Brief Podcast is made possible by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Access to the newest treatments and most sophisticated testing is so important. It matters where you receive your cancer care. Spend one day with Roswell Park. Visit roswellpark.org.
Today's WBFO Brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
For WBFO News, I'm Tom Barrich, and for Jay Moran, who'll be back on Tuesday. The biotech company Avantor will be laying off 95% of its staff at its facility in Sanborn. That's according to a WARN notice filed with the Department of Labor, which said that the layoffs were taking place for economic reasons. 38 of the plant's 40 jobs will be cut between September 1st and December 1st of this year. And a Buffalo man admitted yesterday in federal court that he sold a mix of drugs that resulted in the overdose death of an Erie County woman in 2022. Daryl Sweat, age 33, pleaded guilty to distribution of cocaine, fentanyl, and parafluorofentanyl. Sweat admitted he sold the drugs for $50 on the evening of April 18, 2022, to a woman who was a regular customer. The woman, identified in court papers only as V.O., was found dead in her residence 2 days later by law enforcement and emergency personnel. An autopsy found that the woman died of, quote, acute mixed drug intoxication, including cocaine, fentanyl, parafluorofentanyl, and tramadol. Sweat faces a maximum of 20 years in prison and a $1 million fine when he is sentenced on October 18th before U.S. District Court Judge Richard J. Arcara. And Erie County will be expanding the Renaissance Commerce Park after securing funding to relocate railroad track and facilities that run through the site. The nearly $1.8 million in funding came from the state legislature and will allow the county to expand the Lackawanna-based industrial park by more than 55 acres. The rail facilities will be moved to the rear of the property. Erie County Executive Mark Poloncar said that the industrial park was the result of a collective effort.
For many decades, it just sat there vacant, and people said it was too big a project to take on, and you can't get it done. Well, we worked with our partners in state, federal, local government, and now we have a vibrant economic development site that a number of years ago people said would never happen. And it happened because we came together as a community to address the issue and solve the problem.
The Renaissance Commerce Park is built on the former site of a Bethlehem steel plant. Local leaders also celebrated the passage of tax credits to continue decontaminating the site.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying grifts find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
New York Assembly Speaker Carl Heastie threw cold water on a bill that would require major energy companies to pay for climate change remediation, saying the measure could ultimately result in higher costs for utility ratepayers. Albany correspondent Karen DeWitt has more.
The Climate Change Superfund Act would require companies that contributed significantly to the buildup of greenhouse gases to pay for part of the mitigation efforts to offset climate change, including major infrastructure projects like water barriers. The measure was approved in the state Senate, but it stalled in the Assembly. Speaker Carl Heastie says he's concerned that it would result in higher utility prices, as the energy companies would pass down the costs of the new requirements to ratepayers.
I've never in my life seen corporations choose the ratepayer over the stockholder. So, you know, asking these companies to pay more, it's going to be, of course, taken out on the ratepayer.
Other environmental bills under consideration in the final days of the session include the New York Heat Act. It would ban gas companies from charging ratepayers for new gas line hookups and a requirement that plastics packaging be reduced by 50% in the coming years. Heastie says he's talking with the Senate and Governor Kathy Hochul's staff to try to reach an agreement. The Senate is said to be considering a change that would require just a 30% reduction in plastic packaging. Heastie says the Assembly hasn't agreed to that, though discussions continue. But the speaker says it's likely that some environmentally friendly measures will be approved.
We do want to do some environmental things.
The session is scheduled to end June 7th. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt for the New York Public News Network.
Well, as we all have heard by this point, yesterday, former President Donald Trump was found guilty in his New York hush money trial. And while we now know the verdict, we don't completely know how this may impact the election. WBFO's Emily Watkins spoke with clinical assistant professor Sean Donahue from the University at Buffalo's Department of Political Science about how this verdict could impact local politics and the election.
Trump was found guilty on all 34 counts of falsifying business records, and he is the first U.S. president to be convicted of a felony. How significant is this decision, especially in light of the upcoming election?
Well, I mean, as you said, it is the first time that a former president that was charged with a crime, let alone convicted. So some of the polling has been a little bit opaque, where most people said it wasn't going to affect their vote, but it's an election this year that's going to be decided by kind of voters on the margin in probably no more than seven swing states. So I think that also most people haven't been, say, like political pundits and, you know, reporters and things kind of following, you know, each day's proceedings. So, you know, they were getting a little bit maybe on social media or the evening news. So the fact is that we're just going to have to see in the next few days and weeks how this is going to bake into voters that are more in the middle, the fact that Donald Trump is a convicted felon.
Obviously, this hasn't happened at this level before, but do we know from other cases where a elected official has been charged with a crime or found guilty of a crime? Do we know if that has impacted voters in any other situation?
Well, I think that we could look a few years ago to the case of Chris Collins. Whenever he was indicted, he ended up getting reelected in 2018 and, of course, resigning later after his conviction. But he was in the most, at the time, the most Republican district in the state and nearly was defeated.
And so, it again, a very close election like this one is expected to be.
Yeah, I mean, the polling has shown, you know, at least at the national level, at the popular vote, that the candidates are both really close, depending on which poll you look at, or, you know, if you're looking at more likely voters, registered voters, all adults, as far as your sample.
And as someone who has studied state and local politics, do you think this verdict will impact our area in terms of voter turnout or who people may vote for? Do we have any idea of that?
Well, we haven't seen an incredible amount of polling in New York. We've seen a Siena poll that showed that Joe Biden was only up by about 9 points versus the fact that he won here in 2020 by 23 points. So we'll have to see how that kind of settles in with the electorate. You know, if what we're seeing this year is that the majority of the public has a negative impression of both Trump and Biden. So whenever you have some of those things where you have where voters are kind of down on both candidates, sometimes that can lower voter turnout. But on the other hand, you know, in a polarized country where one of these two people is going to be the next president, it may help increase voter turnout.
And speaking of polarization, is there any indication that Trump being found guilty might further political divisions in our area?
I mean, it could. I mean, you're already seeing a number of Republicans out there that are saying that, you know, this is a rigged system, including the House Speaker and some of the people that are wanting to be Trump's vice presidential candidate. So it's very possible. But like all elections, though, it's going to more depend on some of those voters that sometimes go either way or swing both ways. But on the other hand, too, you know, one of the things is that we have potential third party candidates running where some voters may choose to maybe choose one of those candidates, or maybe some voters choose to stay home.
And what questions do you have for the weeks ahead, or what questions do you think voters should be asking in light of this?
Well, I'm going to be looking at now that we actually have a verdict, where it's not something that's hypothetical, that I'm sure that different polling organizations are going to be going into the field pretty quickly. And by next week, I think we'll probably be seeing some early polling to see how much, if any, that this has had an effect on the race.
Thank you so much, Sean, for taking the time to chat with me.
My pleasure.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.